It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning, and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, July 11th. How are we doing this morning? Let's talk some golf. How about it? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive ice fill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. I love the Open Championship, and it's coming up this week, the final major on the calendar for the men at Royal St. George's in Kent, England. And we will preview that major championship this morning and turn our attention to the Scottish Open. Final round action starting soon at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland, as some of the top players are there to tune up for the Open Championship. And Martin Dempster, golf writer for the Scotsman and the Edinburgh Evening News, he will join us this morning. He's at the Scottish Open, where names such as John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Lee Westwood, they're all there. And so we'll visit with the veteran golf writer and also get a preview of the Open Championship. And at the Scottish Open, two guys are tied for the lead at 14 under after round three. Thomas Detry of Belgium and Matthew Fitzpatrick of England are the co-leaders at 14 under. And they're getting ready to start this hour, actually, Scottish time. John Rahm, he shot a 2-under yesterday. He's only one shot back, and he was actually tied for the lead after 36 holes. He was 7-under through his opening 10 holes on Friday, but then he bogeyed two of the last three holes, which cost him the outright lead. But, hey, he is right where he needs to be, playing incredible, the U.S. Open champion. Lucas Herbert, he is two behind at 12-under. Scotty Scheffler, he shot a 4-under on Saturday. He actually had an 8-under 63 earlier in the week. And, boy, Scheffler playing so well, very close to winning. And since he received his PGA Tour card for the 2020 season, he has posted 14 top 10 finishes, three of them in majors. And at the U.S. Open, a couple weeks back, he played well. He was three shots back, finished tied for seventh. Just crushes the ball off the tee. So you have been seeing his name up there on the leaderboard in a lot of tournaments lately. So be on the lookout for Scotty Scheffler to finally close out a win sooner than later. Xander Schauffele, he's at the Scottish Open. He's four shots back. Lee Westwood, he is at even. He shot even par yesterday. He's at 10 under. He's only four shots back. 23 years ago, Lee Westwood won the Scottish Open. He's 48 years old. He's been very sharp this year. As you know, he was second at Bay Hill and the Players' Championship. And coming up this week at the Open Championship, Lee Westwood will be playing his 88th major. 88th. His son is on his bag this week. His wife, Helen, will be his caddy at the Open Championship. They recently tied the knot in Vegas. How about that? Justin Thomas, he's at 9-under, six shots back. He shot a 6-under 65 in the first round after draining a 90-foot eagle putt on the par 5-7th. Well, Rory McIlroy, glad you asked. He did not make the cut at the Scottish Open. His results this season have been all over the place. Since he won the Wells Fargo in May, he came in 49th at the PGA Championship, 18th at the Memorial, and at the U.S. Open a few weeks ago in the final round, he was even through 10 holes, right in the thick of things. But then he three-putt for bogey on the par 3 11th. His second shot on the par 4 12th plugged into the side of the greenside bunker. He shanked it out of there into the rough. He chipped it out of the rough, missed a putt, made a double bogey there, and ended up finishing tied for 7th. Wouldn't Rory welcome a win this week? His last major win, PGA Championship in 2014, a month after he won the 2014 Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. So and would love to see Rory McIlroy put four great rounds together at Royal St. George's. Gary Player, by the way, three-time Open champion, and a piece I read in Morning Read was quoted as saying that Royal St. George's is the easiest of the Open golf courses. They didn't really say, he didn't say why in that article, but obviously he said the thing that will make it difficult is the wind. Yes, the wind is always a factor at Open championships, but you know, back in 2011, when Royal St. George last hosted the Open Championship, only four players shot under par. Darren Clarke won it in 2011 with a 2-under for the championship, his first and only title, major title, after 20 years of trying. He won by 3 shots over Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson. I remember Clarke holing out from 30 feet for eagle on the par 5 seventh. Mickelson eagled that same hole and briefly grabbed a share of the lead back then. So it will be interesting to see how it plays this week, and it really all depends on the wind, right? The weather. The RNA announced yesterday that Matthew Wolff, K.H. Lee, and Danny Lee have withdrawn from the Open Championship. Now, K.H. Lee withdrew for the birth of his child, but the other two guys did not give a reason. I'd like to get Matthew Wolff on the show in the future. I'll have to work on that. Lots to talk to him. Such a talented player. I'd like to know, I guess, you know, I suspect that the players who decided against going to England did it because of the COVID-related restrictions. The restrictions are pretty intense. Even though they will allow spectators at the Open Championship to the tune of up to 32,000 people. So when I read about the restrictions, they sound pretty extreme, given the fact that there are going to be so many fans there. And the restrictions really aren't any less for those who are vaccinated, apparently. So the RNA sent out a 5-page memo to players last week, or last month, outlining all the health and safety protocols. And players are exempt from quarantining, but they will be required to provide a negative COVID-19 PCR test certificate, take the test within 72 hours of travel to the UK, and complete another PCR test when they arrive at Royal St. George's, unless they are flying on the charter from the Scottish Open. They have to stay in an official hotel or a private self-catering rental with a maximum of 4 people per property. These 4 people must be part of the player support group. So, for instance, caddies and coaches cannot share accommodations. And as I said, there are no exceptions, even if you are vaccinated. On the PGA Tour, fully vaccinated players are no longer required to test in order to play an event. And they're not subject to having to wear masks or any social distancing mandates. So only a player's caddy and 2 more members, and only 1 family member, are allowed in what they're calling the inner bubble. But the family member would have to already be in the UK and have completed any quarantine requirements, which run a minimum of 5 days. So if you want to bring a family member over, you know, they have to go early and quarantine. So most of these players are probably making the trip without family members this time around. See, I understand, you know, trying to protect players from COVID, but you're letting all these spectators in. It, to me, it just doesn't make much sense. But speaking of spectators, one had way too much to drink, apparently, when he walked onto the 10th tee box during the second round at the Scottish Open. Did you see that footage? Unbelievable. John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, they're on the tee box, and they're watching this guy just walk up, grabbed a club out of Rory's bag and made some practice swings. And, you know, Rory and John Rahm, they looked startled, but, you know, they didn't know what to do. And it took way too long for security to remove this guy. Fortunately, it was a harmless act, but I believe it's time for golf to beef up security. It's the only sport where fans, where spectators can get so close to the action. You know, they get so close to the players, and I think it's way overdue to figure out how to prevent anything like this from happening again. I mean, the guy could have had a weapon. I mean, he actually did have a golf club in his hand, which he grabbed from Rory's bag. You know, what if he started swinging the club at the players? I mean, it's scary to think about what could have happened. And you remember, after the PGA Championship, the PGA of America actually apologized for their security not handling it properly when the masses crowded around Phil Mickelson as he walked the fairway on the final hole. He got bumped, it looked like, from some of the fans. He actually slowed down and stopped for a second. He looked like he was trying to calm down the whole scenario. And Brooks Koepka, he got lost in the crowd as he walked down the fairway. And he later complained that his knee got dinged from people in the crowd. So that situation could have totally gotten out of hand. So I will talk to Martin Dempster about security at the Scottish Open and about that just wild incident that really got more attention than the golf. All right, Royal St. George's, a lot to say about that golf course, which was founded in 1887, has hosted 14 Open Championships. And all of you James Bond fans, remember the scene from Goldfinger, the golf game, James Bond versus Goldfinger? The golf scenes were shot there, and the writer of the series, Ian Fleming, was a member at Royal St. George's, an avid golfer, a 13 handicapper. And who are you picking to win? We can go through this during the show, but John Rahm is the favorite. He's never finished in the top 10 of any Open Championship previous. At the 2019 Open Championship at Royal Port Rush, Rahm finished 11th. You got Jordan Spieth. His last major win was at the last Open Championship held in England, the 2017 Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Dustin Johnson has decent memories at Royal St. George's. The last time it was played there in 2011, he finished tied for second with Phil behind Darren Clarke. But DJ has not looked impressive since winning the Masters in November of 2020. Can Brooks Koepka rekindle the magic? He let the opportunity slip away at the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open this year, but you know he's always right up there in any major championship when he's not hurt. Justin Thomas, since winning the Players' Championship, has not had a top 10 finish in 8 starts. Xander Schauffele, he's had 9 top 10 finishes in 17 majors. Can he close the door? And what about Louis Oosthuizen? His only major win was the Open Championship in 2010. He came in second again at Torrey Pines. Unbelievable. I always pick Louis. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to pick him this week, though. I think he needs a breather after another runner-up finish. Tommy Fleetwood is due. We'll go through the list and try to pick a winner by the end of the show. How about it? All right, quickly, the PGA Tour is in Illinois at the TPC Deer Run for the John Deere Classic. And Sebastian Munoz is the leader by one at 16 under. Brandon Hagee is one shot back. Munoz has won once before in the PGA Tour. Hagee is looking to win his first PGA Tour title. Jim Furyk leads the U.S. Senior Open at Omaha Country Club in Nebraska by 4 shots. Furyk shot a 4-under-66 yesterday. He got to 8-under for the tournament. Good enough for a 4-shot lead over Stephen Ames. Retief Goosen at 3-under is 5 shots back. Freddie Couples joins a few guys at 1-under for the championship, 7 shots back. Jay Haas, my buddy Jay Haas, was on the show a couple weeks ago. The oldest golfer in the field at age 67. He, let's see, was at +4, so he's 12 shots back. Nicest guy on the planet. The LPGA at Highland Meadows Golf Club in Toledo for the Marathon LPGA Classic. Nasa Hatayaka, the 22-year-old phenom from Japan, carded a 7-under-64 to jump up the leaderboard to 19-under with a 6-shot lead. How did she do it? She hit 13 of 14 fairways, 17 of 18 greens, and had only 29 putts. That's how she does it. And last but not least, the American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe. And Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz, he eagled the par 5 18th to take a two-shot lead over Vinny Del Negro into today's final round. They both shot 270s yesterday. They're playing a modified Stapleford for a two-day total. And John Smoltz, he racked up 51 points so far. Jack Wagner is third with 47 points. Annika Sorensdam, she doesn't really play a lot of golf anymore. She is 1 point behind Jack Wagner. Good for Annika. And Tony Romo, he's won the event twice. He's in fifth place. Marty Fish, he won last year. He was on the show with me last year. He matched Stephen Curry with 39 points. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, Martin Dempster, golf writer for the Scotsman and Edinburgh Evening News. He will join us. He is at the Scottish Open. And, of course, we'll be covering the Open Championship this week. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool is a luxury athleisure wear for both men and women, offering the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring ice fill technology that cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. iBeCool apparel also features UPF 50+ sun protection. Colorful, stylish, ultra-soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibkul.com. That's ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And we head over to Scotland and say hello to Martin Dempster, golf writer extraordinaire for the Scotsman and Edinburgh Evening News. How are you, Martin?
Good afternoon, Ann. I'm very well, thank you. The sun's out in Lothian at the moment for the final round of the Scottish Open, and we've got an exciting afternoon ahead.
They're about to start over there, right?
Yeah, they're already started. Obviously, the five-hour time difference, they were out at 7 o'clock this morning. The leaders are out in the next hour. So, and, of course, we've got the world number one, John Rahm, in contention, making his debut here this week. And he's played very well so far. I think he's the man that they all have to watch this afternoon.
That is going to be a great, great story, right? He's well aware that Phil Mickelson won the Scottish Open right before winning the Open Championship back in, I think it was 2013. So do you think that could be in the cards for John Rahm?
Yeah, he didn't need to be told that yesterday. He knew Phil had won at Castle Stewart in 2013 in the Scottish Open before coming down to Muirfield, which is the other side of the fence from the Renaissance Club where they are this week, and won the Open. John's very pally with Phil Mickelson, of course, and he would love to emulate Phil. That, of course, what he's going to do is, he's been three wins in a row, having already won the US Open, but he's been fantastic with the media this week, and we sort of suggested last night that he might like to keep his powder dry today before going to Sandwich for the Open, but no, he said, I'm here to win. I want to win every time. There's no limit on winning, so... he's definitely going for another victory this afternoon.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland.
Yeah, the Renaissance Club is American-owned. It's the Vardy brothers. It's a relatively new golf course. Tom Doak designed golf course. It's hosting the Scottish Open for the third year running. It's been a bit unfortunate because on this Lothian course, as you know, the wind can blow and the conditions can be tough. But it's been benign the first two stages, and it's been fairly benign this week as well. There's a wee breeze there today for the final round. But I think the players don't want to be battered the week before an Open. They want a decent test, a little bit of breeze, and they've had that. So I think all the players are quite happy with what they've had so far this week, and it's been the strongest ever field for a Scottish Open, led by John Rahm. We had Rory here, we've got Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler, Billy Horschel. Absolutely fantastic. And of course, fans have been allowed back at the Scottish Open this week. It's the first time we've had fans at an event in Scotland since October 2019 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's just so good to see people smiling out in the golf course. As you know, we love our golf over here, and the fans are reveling and being back out on the golf course this week.
Well, I love, first of all, one of my favorite expressions when you Scottish writers talk about the golf, you say a wee breeze. A wee breeze could be like a 30-mile-an-hour wind to us, right? What's a wee breeze over there? What does that mean?
it's barely, it's about 8 mile an hour today. So,
That is a wee breeze.
That is a wee breeze, yeah. Your sort of definition of a breeze or a wind different to ours. But it's just been fine this week. I mean, it was flat calm the first year here. And the players destroyed it. If they do any length course without any wins, going to be easy for these top players. But there's just enough wind there. The lead at the moment is 14 under par. So, let's say it even got up to 17, 18 under. I mean, that's not bad. And the main thing is we've got a fantastic day ahead. You know, the Scottish Open's a huge event, a really serious event. It stands in its own right. But at the same time, a lot of the top players are here getting ready for next week for the 149th Open Championship.
Yeah, we'll definitely preview the Open Championship, but before we do that, what got more attention than the actual play at the Scottish Open was the incident that happened on Friday on the 10th tee box when a spectator walked onto the tee area, grabbed an iron from Rory McIlroy's bag, and took some practice swings. And Rory and John Rahm were on the tee just looking at this guy and, you know, didn't know what to do. And eventually a security guard, you know, got up there and escorted him off the tee box. But that could have turned very dangerous for the players. What was the reaction over there to that incident?
Yeah, there's no doubt it shouldn't have happened. The players, and it was strange because the tee they were on, it was about 30 yards away from any spectator, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and even over in Scotland there's not too many people on a golf course at that time in the morning. It was very quiet, and the guy appeared from nowhere. No one really knows how he got where he did. I mean, we know all golf courses are wide open spaces, are very, very difficult to be totally secure in terms of anything, or the wall behind the tee over the other side, Muirfield. So we don't know where it came from. As I say, it definitely shouldn't have happened. It took Rory and John Rahm and Harry Diamond, Rory's caddy, by surprise. I think John Rahm really summed up the situation. He said that he knew, the guy had clearly been having alcohol, obviously the night before. He said it would be obviously a good night, which meant it went long into the night. But no, there's no doubt, it shouldn't have happened. Rory, he said he had been surprised by it, but it was eventually handled the way it should have been handled. John Rahm just got on with it, Rory got on with it. But you don't like to see things like that. But in terms of how do you stop people getting onto a huge site on a golf course, as people say, it's easy. It's not as easy as some people expect. So it certainly gave the event publicity it probably didn't need in terms of what did happen. But let's hope there's it's not something that happens a lot over here. You'll be aware of that, but we certainly don't want to see that, and he's hoping it doesn't happen next week at the Open.
Do you think the incident will cause Scotland and perhaps the Open Championship in England to beef up security? I mean, maybe they feel, wow, we really have to do something in addition to what we're already doing.
No, I don't think so. I think, as I say, whatever happened, maybe someone didn't do their job how they should have on Friday, everyone makes a mistake. That might not be the case, but I think you can only take so many steps to ensure safety. And it wasn't what the event wanted. It wasn't what Rory would have liked in terms of that. But thankfully, no one was harmed, and I don't think we need to worry too much about something similar happening next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, when you look at all the sports, golf, how do you really, it's a logistical nightmare as far as, security goes and protecting these players because, it's such a vast area, right? So
yeah,
we've been fortunate so far in the golf world, but you know, it's something you have to really think about in the future to protect these players.
Yeah, well, I think we had the incident. There was a guy appeared on the fairway at Torrey Pines for the US Open. So there are people out there who want to be mischievous. As I say, I think the individual here clearly didn't know where he was in terms of, he obviously sort of turned up and he'd obviously been out on the Thursday night, in Edinburgh perhaps, and having alcohol and whatever. And I just, no one knows why he was here, and he was taken away by the security guards. And it's something that I don't think we'd be happier if we weren't having to talk about something like that, but we are. And but at the same time, it's not something that's happened in Scotland a lot over the years. Let's hope that we're not talking about matters like that in the future.
Yeah, I know at previous Ryder Cups, they've limited the hours you can actually consume alcohol, or that they sell alcohol on the premises. So maybe they'll look at that more.
I think the one, the Hazeltine was the one, I think was the defining moment in that one, when the fans in the afternoon did get very boisterous in the afternoon. I think Rory had some issues there with some fans who were maybe, getting close to stepping over the line. So it's part of the day out. I mean, people like to come have a drink. But the thing was that the guy who turned up here, he didn't get alcohol inside here because it was 8 o'clock in the morning and the bars weren't open on the course. So the damage in his respect was done away from the course. The state he was in. So, and again, you can't control that.
That was crazy. I mean, just not knowing what's going on there and the look on Rory's face and John Rahm. I mean, they just didn't know what this guy was going to do. So,
on the one hand, it was actually quite funny because Rory did a double take and, who is this guy? And John Rahm said afterwards he thought it was a prank. There's a lot of these social media contents now that they're always somebody going to do something. And they did think it was somebody just having a laugh. But obviously not. But as I say, thankfully no one was injured, and the situation was handled in the right way eventually, and certainly not done John Rahm any harm. I mean, obviously Rory missed the cut, but he hit his best driver of the day apparently straight afterwards, and so I don't think it contributed to him not being here at the weekend.
We're talking to Martin Dempster of The Scotsman. You were at the Scottish Open for the final round, and you said, obviously Rory McIlroy did not make the cut at the Scottish Open. Is there still hope for McIlroy over the pond? What are the Irish and the Scots thinking about his game at this point? It's been, 7 years since he last won a major title.
Yeah, he's still struggling with his driving at the moment. As you'll know, he's now working with Pete Cowan, and he did some work with Pete on the range here early in the week. And I think when you watch him on the range, he looks fine. But he just gets out there, he's just still struggling to find something that he needs. I always think someone like Rory, it's a fine margin. If Rory does find that, he's off and running, so he would be disappointed that he didn't get 4 rounds here. But he's already played a round down at Royal St George's yesterday, apparently. So he'll use that to good effect. And would it be a surprise if he continued next week? I think yes, given the way that he has performed the last couple of times with the driver in particular. But it's not that long ago that he won at Quail Hollow, so. And he'll be wanting to prove doubt or wrong. There's no doubt. There are people wondering what's gone wrong with Rory. But I'm a great Rory fan, and I believe that it's not going to take too much. And he's putting in a lot of hard work with Pete Cowan, and it's not going to take too much for Rory to get that spark that he's needing to get himself flying again.
Yeah, I mean, I love Rory McIlroy. And I'd love to see him win another. He has so much talent. And it's just a matter of, putting 4 great rounds together. He's just been all over the place. He can go so low, but then the next day he comes up with, crazy mistakes. And, hey, that's golf. But when it's Rory McIlroy, you expect more consistency out of. He just is so talented. Hey, Gary Player, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but he proclaimed that Royal St. George's is the easiest of all the open courses. The article did not give reasons why he thought that, but I'm surprised. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a very interesting. I've never actually heard anyone describe it that way. Normally, when you talk to players about Welsh St. George's, the first thing they say is that they find it a little bit unfair and a lot of the times, because you can hit a good drive there, but they've got these sort of fairways that slope off, and a drive that looks as though it's split the fairway. The player gets up and it's trundled off the side of the fairway into the rough. So, I think it's not 2011 when Darren Clark won. That's the last time we were there. I think everyone's really looking forward to being back there, especially with the Open not taking place last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I certainly don't think it's the easiest. I don't think any of them are particularly easy, to be honest, on the Open roster. I think there's a bit of rain to hit the southeast of England the next couple of days, so I think it's going to be a green-looking open course rather than a burnt-looking one that the RNA would ideally like. But from the pictures I've been looking at on social media, it's absolutely stunning.
All right, we're going to continue to talk Open Championship. We'll preview the fields. We'll pick a winner by the end of the show. How about it, Martin Dempster? But we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue to talk with Martin Dempster, and maybe we'll take a call or two. How about it, Ed? Maybe we'll get some calls on the line here and get some picks out there from our listeners. And who do you think is going to win the Open Championship? We'll give you a good preview and help you make your picks. But first, let me tell you that as the brand ambassador for IB Cool, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture-sensitive fabric keep me cool on the links, IB Cool garments also feature UPF 50+ sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from any styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin. IB Cool. Learn more at ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. Glad you can join me this hour. Talk a little golf, and I'm delighted that Martin Dempster, golf writer extraordinaire for The Scotsman, and the Edinburgh Evening News joins us as well, live from the Scottish Open, where the final round play is already happening over there. And, Martin, let's look toward the Open Championship at Royal St. George's. I haven't been there, but I hear there are just huge sand hills on the front nine. I've read where there's the par 4 fourth has a huge bunker that they call the Himalayas. That should be fun. And there's the par 3 sixth, the Maiden and the Dunes. It just sounds like an incredible links course.
Yeah, it is indeed. You can spend all day in that bunker, and I think if you got in there and didn't have your A game with you, you could be talking sandcastles at the end of it. So, yeah. It's a really, really good golf course. I mean, all the courses in the Open are great golf courses. They've got their own identity. And this one, as I said earlier, it's 2011 since we were last there. And Darren won. And it was interesting, you know, Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson, they were they finished runners-up on that occasion in pretty tough conditions. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how both Phil, and obviously Phil's on a high after USPGA Championship win. DJ seems to be a little bit off for him, but no, they're going to be going back there with some good memories. And I think it really is terrific. I mean, obviously the field's been hit a little bit with some withdrawals this morning. Masters champion Hideki Mitsuyama, he's withdrawn. He obviously tested positive for COVID at a recent PGA Tour event.
That's too bad.
Yes, it is. I think they all feared the worst when that happened 2 weeks ago, and it seems that he's had subsequent PCR tests that are still showing up as positive. So he's not going to be there, and that's disappointing, because I think Hideki would really fancy his chances at St. George's next week.
Yeah, and Matthew Wolff just was announced he wasn't coming, so I don't know his reason for not coming. But, I mean, that gets me into the whole COVID restriction protocols that the RNA put out. I mean, it's very strict over there, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I mean, the European Tour, restarted later than the PGA Tour did last year. The European Tour was sort of towards the end of July. And since then, they have had a strict bubble in place at all the tournaments. And it's only recently, within the last two or three weeks, Germany, Ireland, and Scotland, that fans have started to return. So they've been played without fans. They've been played with the players in a bubble, and it's a strict bubble. We talk to British players who play over in the States, and then they make no secret of the fact that the bubble over there is a lot a lot more flexible. The players are allowed to do eat out and stay in houses. Over here, that's not been the case. Now the RNA have adopted the same policy in terms of that, and it's not just the RNA making the decision. They're being led by the government over here. They're obviously having to put the regulations in place. They want those regulations to be followed, and Martin Slumber said earlier in the week that there's already been some flexibility on certain things, but this bubble is something that the government have insisted on, and I think Ricky Fowler said, there's 32,000 fans going to be there next week, which is a lot more than I think anyone really expected. The Scottish Open this week, it's a strictly limited attendance of 5,000. So 32,000 fans is a lot. And I think Rory said he had concerns about being on a golf course with 32,000 fans who are obviously not in the bubble, and the players are in a bubble. So I can partially see where he's coming from there, but the RNA they really are having to work hard. They only sort of found out two or three weeks ago that spectators were going to be allowed in the first place. So they're having to really pull out the stops to make sure this event is held in a safe environment. And as much as the inconvenience in some of the players, I think they just have to adhere to it. They do have to adhere to it and get out there and do what they're over here to do and play golf and try and get their hands on that claret jug.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, those strict rules, based on the fact that they're letting... Are they letting... Is it 32,000 fans total or 32,000 fans a day?
Per day.
At the Open Championship.
A day? 32,000 fans per day, yes.
Yeah, that's
a lot
of spectators based on the restrictions that they're throwing toward the players. And I think a lot of the players just said, hey, we can't go over there. The significant other can't even go there without quarantining for 5 days. The players don't have to quarantine, but anybody who goes over there has to, which...
And that's one of the relaxations that the players don't have to quarantine. The government has said to their neighbor, they're going to not sort of enforce that one, but there are other things that you will have to try and have in place. And I'm just looking out here, there's only 5,000 fans at the Scottish Open, and looking out, and it looks quite busy. Six times that amount next week is actually going to be it's going to be a little bit daunting for everyone, because we're not used to being in groups of people of that size for 15 months. So here's hoping that the whole thing goes safely. I know the RNA, as I said, they've worked really, really hard. They're having to come up with loads of different things that they have to, that they're not used to doing in terms of their own teams, in terms of keeping people separate just in case that somebody gets it and they're contact trace. So it's an exciting week ahead, but one that's a little bit unnerving for a lot of people.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have a call here, 877-337-6666. Frank Darby checking in, the one and only. Hey, Frank, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hello, Ann. How you doing? Good morning.
Good. Say hey to Martin Dempster of the Scotsman.
Hello, Martin. How you doing? Frank Darby and good friends of Michael McEwen over there in Edinburgh, I guess.
Good man. He's a good friend. I know Michael actually employed him when I was the editor of Bunker Golf magazine, and he's done really well for himself, young Michael.
So, Martin, I have one question for you. This is one of my favorite weeks, but when is the feud going to start again between Brooks and Bryson, like Royal Feud 2? I'm looking forward to seeing what the media over there does.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. Over there, they'll go nuts with that. They love that stuff, right?
We do, yeah. We're actually laughing about it over here, to be honest. You know, we have to look at it and think more about the Ryder Cup. You know, what's Steve Stricker going to do with those two in a Ryder Cup team? It's not exactly shaping up well for those two to be in a team room together. But, yeah, it's getting the game a lot of publicity, isn't it? Next week, they're going to play together sometime soon, aren't they? So maybe next week might be the time. And I don't think people over here are sort of caught up in the whole thing as some of the fans maybe are over in America. But it's certainly getting the game some attention, that's for sure.
I think that social media feud between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, I mean, say what you want to say, yes, it's adding to their following. But I think it's a distraction to both players. I mean, since they've been doing it, they haven't really played great.
Yeah, I think
Bryson DeChambeau has had, you know, his issues, and Brooks Koepka, you wonder if the four-time major winner is going to rekindle the magic. I mean, he's let a couple opportunities slip away at the PGA Championship, at the U.S. Open this year, but he's so strong, you don't want to not pick him because he's such a strong player in major championships. But since this feud's been going on, I think it's been a distraction for both players, personally.
Yes, I think that's where you've got your bang on there. And, some people ask, is it a real feud? Is it just a game they're playing with each other to get attention? I don't know, but it's good in one respect that people are talking about it, but... next week would be interesting, wouldn't it, to see the two of them in a group together, whether it's in the first two rounds or Saturday or Sunday, the two of them, and then that would be where you would really see Jan Boothoy to put that aside and play their best golf, because they're both very exciting players. I think the fans in particular are keen to see Bryson down in St. George's next week. Obviously in 12 months' time they'll be coming to St. Andrews for the 150th Open, and people are already talking about what's Bryson going to do to the old course, how many greens is he going to drive on the old course. we'll see. But that's 12 months' time. Let's see what happens next week, and the eyes of the golfing world will certainly be on the two if they're paired together at some point.
Frank, you're still on the line. I think the feud is real. Don't you believe it's real?
Yeah, I think it is. And that's why I'm picking Brooks, because I think Brooks gets, he doesn't really care about distractions. He's just such a tough competitor and gritty and resilient. I think he's going to play great this week. I think he's relaxed and he's healthy. I think that's the most important thing.
We're going to have to get the boxing gloves out, trying to get them in a boxing ring and get it sorted out.
Exactly. You certainly do. I mean, it's been a couple of majors that he hasn't won, Brooks Koepka, so he certainly do. And what about, let's see, Justin Thomas? Well, he, since winning the Players' Championship, he has not had a top 10 finish in 8 starts. I don't pick JT. Xander Schauffele, he's had 9 top 10 finishes in 17 majors. Can he close the door? I mean, let's talk about some of these players. Frank, before I let you go, Frank, give me your pick, and then we'll hear our pick.
I like Brooks, and the other guy I like Lee Westwood to finally get a major. I think he's just a high-end player. So I like Westwood just because he grew up on Links Golf Course.
Absolutely. Thanks, Frank. Frank, plug your show real quick. You're on Sirius Radio Wednesday nights, right?
Thursday night, 8 o'clock with Brian Crow on course. Martin, nice talking to you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Frank. Anyway, who are you picking, Martin?
Well, you just mentioned Justin Thomas there before I'll give you my sort of pick. Justin Thomas is 3-under after 7 in the final round here, and to sit 12-under and just 2 off the lead. So I think he's had a good week so far. So, and he's getting exactly what he was looking for from this week. Good prep for next week. So Justin Thomas might not be too far away next week.
You're picking JT?
No, I think he's trending, let's say. But I've got a sneaky feeling for Tommy Fleetwood next week. Tommy was runner-up.
He is so due, Tommy Fleetwood.
He is, yeah. And he's going along quite nicely. He's not going to win here, I don't think. He's going along quite nicely here today. And Tommy, you know, knows Lynx Golf Course. He's not won in Lynx Course. He's an amateur. And, yeah, I've got a sneaky feeling that Tommy's going to be there or thereabout next week.
All right, should I go on a limb? Should I pick Jordan Spieth? I mean, his last major win was at the last Open Championship held in England at the 2017 Open Championship at Royal Brookdale.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll go with Jordan.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, he loves Lynx golf. He has a lot. Boy, if he's sharp on the greens, he has a lot of confidence having already won an Open Championship. So maybe I'll pick Jordan Spieth this week. That would be my pick.
Well, we love him over here as well. So we're hoping that Jordan does come over and have a good week.
And normally I pick Louis Oosthuizen, and then I thought he would win the U.S. Open because I didn't pick him during the U.S. Open. But gosh, coming in second at Torrey Pines, and you know he was at the 2015 U.S. Open he came in second, at the 2017 PGA Championship, at the 2012 Masters, all runner-up finishes, and I think that has to wear on you mentally, Martin. I would pick him again this week, but I think he needs a breather since he came in second again at the U.S. Open.
But he has won the Open, of course, 2010, and he was so impressive on that occasion at St. Andrews. And, yeah, I mean, he's another one, if he's there or thereabout, you know, heading into the weekend, you wouldn't be surprised at all. So I think he's got the makings. He's a really, really good Open Championship. As I say, the fact we've not had one since 2019, that really does add to the excitement. Shane Lowry has had the claret jug for 24 months. He loved that. He'll hand that back to Martin Slumbers tomorrow morning down at Sandwich, and Shane was a great winner at Portrush. Patrick Harrington was the last man to successfully defend it in 2008. It's a tough task. I don't think Shane will win it again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was up there or thereabouts on Saturday, Sunday next weekend.
I love Shane Lowry. I mean, that was some Open Championship at Royal Portrush. I was actually there and just loved every minute of it. Hey, Martin, thanks so much. We're closing out the show. I really appreciate it. Let's see if Tommy Fleetwood, your pick, will do the job. You hadn't mentioned John Rahm. We talked about him earlier. He's certainly a favorite, and I'll go with Jordan Spieth as my Open Champion pick. So anyway, my thanks to Martin Dempster. My thanks to Ed, our Zoomin' in the studio, and to you for listening. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for women and men, performance-driven, stylish, and ultra-soft for all your on- and off-course activities. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. Looking forward to visiting with you again next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.